I'm being recorded.
Okay.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, glory be to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
Good morning, everybody. Once again, it's wonderful to see you and to be with you today. You know, there's a little bit of, you know, as we all know, sometimes it's not always clear what the gospel and epistle readings mean. Sometimes you see two different meanings in them. It gets confusing when you read the scriptures. And, you know, the gospel reading is no different because on the one hand, you have these two blind men that approach Christ asking for healing. And Christ demands, he doesn't demand, but he says, do you believe I can do this? And of course, they confess their faith of him. But yet the dumb demoniac, well, because he couldn't speak, maybe that's why he didn't ask, but he just healed him. He didn't ask, you know, he didn't ask the people who brought him saying, do you believe I can heal him? He went straight away and healed him without asking any questions. So why does it require faith in some cases and in others not? So this is an important thing that we often need to think about. And the only thing I can share with you is in the case of the dumb demoniac, he couldn't speak. He didn't have the ability to say what his needs were. And so Christ, out of his mercy, decided to heal him. Whereas the man who knew Jesus, they even called him. They even said he was the son of David. So they seemed to know something about the Old Testament. And they seemed to have knowledge of Christ somehow. And so he did ask them, do you believe I can do this? And so faith is a very important thing in healing. But in some cases, he doesn't demand it because of the person and their ability to speak and to say, I believe. The man could not say that. And he was possessed by a demon. And so he had no control over his faculties of his mind and reason. And so with many people with certain illnesses, we don't have a rational conversation with them. We pray for them. And we pray for God's mercy to come upon them, even if they're not capable of understanding what's going on. And so, but still the whole reality of faith can't be underestimated in the healing of the two blind men. St. Hilary of Poitiers says the following regarding this miracle. The Lord showed them that faith should not be expected as a result of health, but health should be expected because of faith. The blind men saw because they believed. They did not believe because they saw. From this we understand that what is requested must be predicated on faith, and that faith must not be exercised because of what he has seen or obtained. So that's an important thing to kind of not underestimate, that these men saw because they believed. They didn't believe because they saw, you know. And so this is an important thing to remember. We don't demand proof. We have faith in Christ. Even when we're blind, if we don't think, we don't understand what's going on, we somehow turn to Christ with belief and in prayer and turn to him and say, Lord, heal me. And so that prayer of faith is extremely important in our Christian life. And as even St. Paul is without faith, it's impossible to please God in Hebrews. So this is not to be underestimated. But then we come to the demoniac who couldn't speak, and I want to read something from John Chrysostom on how he saw his healing. For he could not make a request by himself because he was unable to speak, and he also could not petition others because the demon had bound his tongue, and along with his tongue had shackled his soul. Because of this, Jesus did not demand faith from him, but immediately corrected the man's disorder. So it's not a hypocrisy. I mean, it is sometimes confusing. The epistle reading kind of reads this way a little bit too, because we're told in Romans that we heard, we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor, for it's good to edify him. For God did not please himself, but it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach thee fell on me. Welcome one another, therefore as Christ welcomed you for the glory of God. So there's this whole issue. How do we deal with, what's this mean? We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak. What does that mean? Does it mean that we're strong in faith? Does it mean that we don't have any problems and we're not like them? That we've got all our issues figured out? And does it mean we're superior to people who are weak? I don't think so. I think people who are strong in the faith. And so to be strong in the faith, you have to know your own weaknesses. Before you're going to cope with those who are weak, if you're strong in faith, you're going to be able to see what's in your life that's not right and approach Christ with faith and ask him to make me well, like in the gospel story. So for those When St. Paul says, we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak, he's really kind of saying that we don't do that by kind of thinking, well, I'm fine and you're not, and so I want to give you this because I don't have a problem, but you do. If anything, we should know very well what our weaknesses are and be very much in touch with them before we want to deal with the weakness of other people. So we have to be in touch with what's not right in our life in order to move ahead. But then it goes on about pleasing people. And, you know, again, another paradox, you know, we're supposed to please those who are weak. And it says to edify them. But then he also says in Galatians, when he's preaching about the gospel, he says, am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I'm still pleasing men, I should not be a servant of Christ. So again, how do we understand the difference between pleasing people, between what St. Paul is talking about in Romans, where he talks about the idea of pleasing his neighbor. And I think the key are the words for his good, to edify him. It's one thing to please somebody to get their praise. In other words, you don't really care about them. You just want, there's something in it for you. You want to hear the good, you want to hear how wonderful you are. And so you're pleasing person not for the benefit of that person. You're wanting to make them happy so they won't be mad at you and you'll think you're okay. But this is talking about pleasing people for their well-being and for their edification. And so, and I'm going to read this from Origen. He's not a canonized saint. In fact, he got condemned in the 5th century, but so many of his works are not, they're orthodox. I mean, some of his works aren't. But his commentary of Romans is actually quite excellent. He says, it is one thing to try and please others in order to get their praise, and quite another to please them in order that one's own life might be blameless, so that those who meet us may be edified by what they see and hear. We are not called to please others by doing things which are against faith, honor, and piety. Note that Paul himself says this when he adds that in pleasing our neighbor, the purpose is to edify him. So that's just underscoring what I said earlier. And then finally, John Chrysostom on the last verse, 15:7, receive one another as Christ welcomed you. Let us obey this command and bind ourselves closely to one another. But it is no longer just the weak that he is encouraging, but everyone. If someone wants to break relations with you, do not do the same with him. Rather, display even more love toward him, that you may draw him to you. For he is a member of the body, and when a member is cut off, we must do everything we can to unite it again and then pay more attention to it. Well, this is an interesting statement because last night during my questions with your wonderful youth that really asked very wonderful, challenging questions, somebody asked the question, when do you kind of know to let go of somebody that's not a part of you anymore? You know, because here St. Paul, St. John saying, well, love him even more. But the question was, but what if somebody is kind of left and not part of a group, they're not part of your group, and how much do you reach out to them? You know, here St. John seems to be saying, well, love them even more. But does that mean, can you force somebody to come back? You know, so how do you flush that out in life? I think we make every effort. We don't assume anything. You know, if somebody leaves a group, let's say somebody leaves a church and doesn't say anything, I think it's very worthwhile, whether it be the priest or whether it be a parishioner who knew them, to reach out. Whether it be a friend of somebody you have in school, if they haven't said anything, it's very important to reach out and say, what's going on? We haven't seen you. We miss you. But then there's also going to be a certain point that, well, they might say, well, I don't want to come back anymore for whatever reason. Well, can you talk? Maybe we can talk to Father Christopher. Will that help? Can you talk to somebody in the church that might help you resolve this so you can come back? No. Well, if somebody repeatedly tells you no, you can't force your love upon somebody. If we really love them, they have the freedom to say no, and then we have to be able to let them go, even though we wish they would be here. But that's the tough thing. That's a tough tension in everything. How much do you reach out before you finally say, I can't do anything anymore? Jesus told his disciples when he was sending them out to preach among the 70, he said, if they don't receive your message, shake the dust off your feet. You know, in other words, there's a time you let go. There's a time you stop trying when you've made every effort to reach out. So I think it's not a paradox, but just sometimes life is hard to figure out. And especially the gospel readings, sometimes in the scriptures they seem to have two meanings. And so we have to read them closely and understand what's involved here. So in the one case of the two men who were born blind, they had faith. Christ asked them, "Do you believe?" And their healing was conditioned by their belief. But the dumb demoniac didn't ask him, "Do you believe?" Didn't ask the people that brought him if they believed. And he healed them straight away because he wasn't able to speak for himself. And then you have this whole issue of reaching out to those who are weak. Who's weak and who's strong? And so we need to always remember our strength, as St. Paul said, is founded on our weakness. St. Paul in chapter 12, 11 and 12 of 2 Corinthians talked about how God had this, gave him this thorn in the side. And he asked him three times to take it away. And God said he wouldn't, because my strength is made perfect in weakness. And then St. Paul says, well, I greatly rejoice in my weaknesses, because when I am weak, then I am strong. So there's the paradox. You know, if we want to bear with the failings of the weak, whoever they are, We don't look at ourselves and say, well, I must be one of the strong ones, and oh, that person out there, oh, I've got to go to him because he's weak. No, it's we first rejoice, and rejoicing in your weaknesses doesn't mean I'm going to keep on doing it. It means you know who you are. You know what you are. You need to come to Christ. You need to come to confession and have the priest witness your repentance. And so you glory in your weaknesses, not because it's a great thing to keep on doing things that are wrong, but it gives you knowledge of the fact that when you are weak, you know who to go to give you strength. You know that you cannot be strong in yourself. You have to be weak in order to come to Christ, and he can fill you with what's lacking in you. And so this is the starting point about how we bear with the failings of the weak, by knowing our own weaknesses. And then even finally, in this whole issue of reaching out to those who maybe want, is that what it means to bear with the failings of the weak? You reach out to those who need to be loved and maybe are afraid of speaking up. And I know there's many occasions when you do call somebody who's pulled away, they appreciate that. Why they need to do that, I don't know. I mean, you know, I know a lot of times I hear stories of people who visit a church and they say, well, I went there, nobody talked to me. Well, okay, well, is that a feeling of the church? I remember when I started going to a new church in Detroit, when I first joined the OCA in 1984, I went to St. Peter and Paul Orthodox Church in Detroit. I didn't know a soul. I didn't know anybody. I was scared out of my wits. What am I doing in this church, not knowing anybody? But, you know, it's something that's always stuck with me, that instead of waiting for people to come to me and say hi and be nice to me, and me folding my arms saying, nobody's come to me, what's wrong? I just said each week I'm going to introduce myself to somebody new I don't know. And just one Sunday a week, and by 4 months, I had this reputation of being outreaching and friendly. So, I mean, I think with everything, we don't assume anything. Maybe the people that don't want to talk to a newcomer might be afraid too. So you don't need to wait for somebody in the church to be nice to you. Of course, that's an important thing. I mean, a church should not be cold to new people coming in and indifferent. But on the other hand, when people come and kind of like say, well, nobody talked to me. Well, did you talk to anybody? I mean, if you want to be treated a certain way, well, make sure you make that point of doing unto others as you would have them do unto you. If you want to be loved, take the initiative to love. And all of a sudden, life goes a lot better. So anyway, so these are very interesting themes in the readings today. And so may God grant you the grace to see how these inconsistencies really aren't inconsistencies. It just takes some time for us to pray and meditate on these gospel readings, the epistle reading, and kind of see these nuances in life that sometimes it's not always clear. So God help us on this day to rejoice in our weaknesses and to realize that in our weaknesses we find the strength of God to minister to those who need the gospel. And not with any sense of smugness and superiority, but understanding first and foremost we need it more than anybody else. May we have that kind of faith to believe so. Amen.